All right. It's my pleasure to introduce to you our very beloved Andrea and Daniel. They are going to give us the sermon of the day, and so I'm here to pray for them. So please join me. No pressure. Yes. Father, I just want to thank you for these two who are devoted to seeking you, and they have lived their lives to be an example to us, to love your word, to love your deeds, and to love others like the way you love them. And today, as you have revealed to them what to say to us, I pray that, first of all, please may your peace be with them. And when they at times might feel a little bit self-aware, I ask that you would just show up before them. Let them see your eyes and just follow your lead. And at the same time, I pray that you will prepare our hearts, just like the way you prepare soil for a garden. Let the words that land in our hearts take root and grow. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for the life you've given us. And may we remember all that is taught to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can everyone hear me okay? Happy Palm Sunday, everyone. It was great, right? I mean, I even think of like a year ago how we had to do Palm Sunday and Easter and all that. Go ahead and take a seat. And we were on Zoom just 1 year ago. And it's just crazy that we were able to walk up the street and do our procession as we've done for multiple years now. So as you guys have probably noticed, there's a couple of us up here and not just me, which is quite refreshing. I think I was talking to Jeremy a couple weeks ago about there's a moment where like I'm coming up to preach and either Brad or Bronson or even Kathy is praying over me. And then right when they're done, they start walking away. I'm just like, no, please stay. And then I realize I'm up here by myself and I have to talk to you guys. But today we're going to do something a little bit special. We were a bit inspired from, I don't know if you guys remember a few months back where Kathy and Robin had sat down, done a sort of interview type thing where Robin was able to share a little bit of her testimony and story, and Kathy was prompting her with questions. So we thought we want to do something similar to that to wrap up our Lent series, and it's actually quite appropriate that today's passage fell on Palm Sunday. And I'll go ahead and read that to you, but it's appropriate in the sense that what we just did while we were walking up the street is exactly what this passage is trying to get at today, and that being the proclamation of the Lord, and the year of the Lord's favor, and also the year of the Lord's vengeance. And so we'll get into the passage today, but anyway, Andrea, did you want to share any opening thoughts, or do you want to get right into it?
Let's get right into it.
Cool.
Let's get right into it.
Great. So the way this will work, I'll go ahead and read the passage, and then I'll go ahead and walk with Andrea through some questions and see some of her thoughts and what's resonated with this passage to her particularly. So as you guys know, we've been in Isaiah chapter 61, and also it's reiterated and repeated in Luke's gospel in chapter 4. And so we've broken it up, and the verse that we got was verse 2 of Isaiah 61. And it reads, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And so it's with this passage that we were reflecting this past couple weeks and trying to see what Andrea's heart was behind this text. And so perhaps in the way of kind of orienting our discussion, I wanted to ask Andrea, what about this passage made you want to speak on it? Like what resonated with you the most that made you want to select this passage in particular?
So we're going to take it back to 2020. So right when we got shut down, Jay still had to work, and so you know everyone. It's kind of eerie. It's odd. You know, that Friday, you know, I worked till late, and then we hadn't had groceries or anything. We go to the grocery store, everything's gone. So it's just like everything's like hitting us all at once. And it's like, all right, we could do this. You know, what does this mean? And then Jay and I and Lincoln started taking rides to the school, his school, because he's still in charge of the properties. And one day as we're riding, you know, everything's eerie because no one's on the street. And we still don't know what's going on and the severity of this. And there's like this heaviness and fear upon me. And as we're by this Coast College, I get this vision of the enemy's armies landing on ground, like just arriving, shooting down, like on the ground, and they're taking over. And I was like, what the heck? You know, like this is intense. And then at some point, I think we're doing something and Sue has a similar vision. And I'm like, okay, we got this, you know, God wins. And then another round, we go to Jay's school to check the grounds because they have an empty building. And we see that there's a transient there. And no big deal, you know, we didn't tell anybody that he was there because we're like, he needs a place to stay, you know, like, no big deal. But then the next time we went to check the building, there was all this Japanese writing and there was swastika and like the star, like Satan stuff, you know, satanic stuff, and then some Japanese writing on the ground. And I was like, oh man, because that building is next to that college where I saw that vision. And I was like, okay, this is all right. Like, is this a sign, you know, is this confirming what I'm seeing, and should we be scared? And so that was number two. And then the third time that we went on rounds, or maybe Jay went, some kids had come and vandalized the school, which is a Christian school. And they had, did they have 666 on it? Or, you know, so I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like for real, you guys. Like this is the army's here. Like we need to be aware. So as I was dealing with that, I'm taking classes, you know, and like, because I'm still kind of, no, I'm trying at this point, trying to figure out, like, I'm essential, I can work, so my industry is, like, all these professors are, like, throwing classes, they're talking to people from China, they're talking to people from Europe to kind of see, like, what's going on, how can Chinese medicine, you know, help with this and all that. I forgot we're interviewing each other. Sorry. Anyway, and so I'm learning, you know, there's like two classes a week. So there's like all these things going on. Like there's spiritual warfare. There's like having to figure out like how we're going to treat people, how we're going to deal with this. And then there's a part where you're just so fearful. And I go to my cynical way. And for me to not panic, I have to know worst case scenario. And I find comfort in worst case scenario. So I was like, okay, what's worst case scenario? Let's say I get sick. Okay, so I get sick. I die. I go to heaven. Okay, cool. We're going to deal with this. Darn. Okay, so what about Lincoln? What if Lincoln loses his mom? Well, you know what? That's his journey. God's got him. Cool. Check. Next. I'm like, okay, what if Jay dies? You know, like, okay, so Jay dies. You know, same thing. Like, all right, Lincoln, like, Jay made it without parents. He turned out to be a good person. Cool. Lincoln can do it. I've got the church. Awesome. All right, let's move on. I can do this, you know? And, like, I had to kind of just keep that momentum going because I was holding the floor for all my patients and I was holding the floor for myself, you know, and others. And I was like, no, guys, it's cool. We know who the author is. We know how the story ends. We got this. Let's do this, you know? Like, don't let fear take over. At night I couldn't sleep because I'm processing all this information I'm getting. And so I start watching just everything I can, like sermons and whatever. I stumble upon this lady who is more of on the new age side, so I'm not going to tell you who she is so you guys don't follow her. But I was like, the Lord wasn't even speaking through her, you know? And she was like, listen, like, there's darkness here. The darkness is here, and it's but the great thing is that is light trumps darkness. And she starts saying all these things, and I'm like, yeah, that's what we say as Christians. And I'm like, dude, Tara, Wes, like, New Age is parallel with Christianity right now. Like, hell is here. You know, like, so, like, this is for real, you guys. Like, it's intense, and the fight is real, and we know that we've been on, like, the enemy's territory, but I've never personally felt it so real. So I was thinking, like, okay, well, what, so I'm watching her, I'm getting all positive, and I'm like, all right, this is a different way of hearing the gospel, like, light, just think of light. And she's teaching people to, like, we're so powerful, we're light beings, we can just send out light, and we've trumped the darkness, you guys, come on, everyone. And I was like, all right, yes, we're doing this. So, so then in February of this year, every February is Chinese New Year. So they do like a forecast for the year based on like the elements and blah, blah, blah. That's part of like Chinese medicine as well and their philosophy. So I kind of like want to listen to see what they say. And I was like, you know what? What if we just listen to what the Lord says? What if we just follow what the Lord says and then like just find his favor that way? So when we were meeting with Marquita and the group, of course, that last line said the year of the Lord's favor. And I was like, dun, dun, dun. My heart was beating. And I was like, oh, I have to talk about this. Yeah. And we'll go through the passage. And then I have some stories that the Lord has asked me to share with you guys. So that's how we got here.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it was quite the process. I think I really enjoyed just getting through all the different stories and elements of this passage that were coming up in Andrea's life. Let's see. Moving on. Notes are so small, I'm sorry. Okay, so the passage's central theme is proclamation. Proclamation here is twofold, in that one aspect of it is the Lord's favor, and then the other aspect of it is vengeance. So we're going to ask a few questions in regards to this, those two aspects, okay? So first question, what comes to mind when you think of proclaiming the Lord's favor today? In other words, maybe considering those texts that we talked about. There's one in Hebrews chapter 4 where it's like, enter the Lord's rest, and people have failed to enter that rest. And then also we talked about the year of Jubilee and how that is probably at the background of this text, as far as they would let the land rest after 49 years. Israel wouldn't do any work on it. So maybe if you want to consider some of that in the background, or you can just go ahead and share any yeah. thoughts.
Where do I start? So it's a threefold question. So proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, we'll talk about that. I'll tell you a little sort of testimony about that in my life. And then the vengeance part is going to be a little tricky because it's like something we've wrestled with. And the Jubilee, I have a one-liner about that. So proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or just the message of hope, and that he's really here and he's with us, and what he can do and change in your life. So I'm going to tell you a little personal story, and I might get sad, but hopefully not. So when I grew up thinking that my mom hated me, and it was tumultuous and it was painful. And, you know, she came from, her father was an alcoholic, so she had a messy life. And, but it wasn't until my 30s that I realized that, well, if she's broken, if she knew better, she would have done better. But up to that, you know, I lived a pretty, rebellious lifestyle, and just caused a lot of harm to myself, and which fed that, like, my mom doesn't love me, she hates me, like, blah, 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 you know? And so then in my 30s, I start getting therapy because I'm having all these panic attacks. And then we dive in, you know? And then I learn, oh, my mom's human, you know? Like, look at her past. Of course she's going to be the way she is now. She doesn't know any better. And I start kind of reconciling my relationship with her, except she was a tough one. And so fast forward to when she was ill, and then she was dying. So I got to, my dad called me, and he was like, hey, bad news, you got to come home. So we were going to put my mom into hospice. Okay, so my sister and I got, so we all, hospice was freaking, like, super amazing. Our family was there, and then, like, at 3 a.m, my sister and I were by ourselves with her. And in that moment, so when she was in hospice, she was off all medications, off of everything, and she was kind of coming to. She was, like, the most awake she had been in, like, 17 days, because she had been in the ICU for 17 days. And we got to, and she couldn't talk, and she basically talked to us with her eyes. And in that moment, we got to see, like, her going through her whole life in a blink and realizing that she was dying and that she couldn't take it back. Like, this was it, you know? And that was pretty intense to witness someone going through that and then, like, hold a fort because, again, I'm the older sister. I didn't want my sister to... I wanted my sister to feel comfortable and not just be there with that moment. You know what I mean? And, okay, so she passes away, and so the beauty that comes out of this is, you know, for actually until that moment, until like maybe few months before she had her stroke, she would still push my buttons, and I would still like, I moved to California for a reason. Like, she's in Florida, and I was like, I can't handle it. You know, I have to, like, I can't. And so, and up to that point, I had a certain view with grudges. And then she passes away, and all of a sudden, the pain is lifted. My past is completely erased. There's peace. And I have peace with her. The other cool thing was my mom and my dad decided not to be religious or Christians or anything when they got married. So they consider themselves atheists. Well, when my dad knew my mom was, like, in trouble, he went and got a chaplain, and he was like, we have to save your mom. Let's get her saved. This is the atheist who's doing this, by the way. So that's another, like, the Lord, there's favor in that. Like, the Lord was like, no, we can do this. I can use anyone to get me to God. So while my mom was passing away, one of her Catholic friends came, and we did this, like, rosary prayer thing over and over and over. And, like, my vision of, like, because when someone's dying and you're not prepared for it, you can't take it back, and it's super heavy, and you're like, am I really seriously having to deal with this right now? Like, this sucks. Like, okay, pull up your big girl panties, and you got to deal. We got to deal because we all pass away. And it's, like, the hardest thing that you'll ever do, but you just have to go through it, and it's super raw, and it's super intense. And anyway, so that we do this thing, and it's like a prayer that's kind of like what I visualize is my mom on this feather, white feather. She had been cleaned, and she was at peace, and like they're helping her transition through the light. So here's like a couple who's atheist, who's now been saved, right? From an atheist husband. I don't know if my dad's watching, but that's awesome, Dad. So it's just like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. You know, like, he is pretty awesome. And then, so she passes away. And the last, she didn't pass away when I was there. We left. She passed away the next day, which I figured that she would do that for me because I'm the sensitive one in the family. And so she, the last vision I have of her is peace. And from that moment on, there's just this amazing peace between my relationship with my mother. It wasn't like the hate that I had or like she hated me. That all that's erased. So anything could be erased out of your life, you guys. Like, the Lord can totally remove that, for real. Like, I'm at peace. I love it. And all the memories I have of my mom are joy. Like, all the joyful things. So I was like, this is pretty amazing. Okay, so that was a little bit of what the Lord said. Share that story as far as, like, seeing, like, the, what happened in my family, my life, the sorrow, the pain, because I was in a lot of pain emotionally. And now there's freedom and there's joy. Like, amazing.
Well, what I hear in that is that oftentimes those really challenging difficulties that come up in life that make it so that we're more prone to proclaim. I mean, we could go one of two ways, right? But sometimes if you use that as a leverage, that is the proclamation. And how many of you can testify to that being your experience, that after coming through a hard season afterwards, you're more prone to just want to do that, to proclaim the Lord's favor? So that's precisely what I hear in that example, because that's not an easy thing.
No.
Yeah.
But you get through it. You get through it. And that's how we got through it this year. It was like, okay, like we're just going to get through this. You know, like I'm not going to let the fear that I've had before come back. I am not letting that fear coming back. I am not going to do that. So I'm going to just, this is positive, man. The Lord won. We know this. So let's not act like we don't know it.
Hmm. Yeah. Amen. Here are your
Vengeance.
Notes, by the way.
Let's
see. All right, so we might have to skip a couple just for the sake of time. So the next question would be, do you ever get the sense that we, either our church or the church at large, have failed to kind of enter the Lord's favor or to receive this sort of proclamation?
I think we did. We did as... What's that?
Question D. Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously we know this. We did, right? We got caught up in fear, and there was a lot of brokenness, a lot of division, a lot of, families broke up, friendships broke up, churches broke up. We got so caught up in the enemy's trap, in his schemes, that we forgot about Jesus. We forgot about what we had. You know what I mean? Like, we were just so caught up in the mess, the no mess, like, inside, outside, what are the rules? What are we following? Do we follow the government? We don't follow the government. Like, there was, like, so much wavering, and we forgot about the Lord. I wish that we could go back and just focus on that only and not, like, what was going around. I mean, I don't know. I don't have hindsight yet, but, you know. So I think in that sense, like I think we missed the mark in that way, but there's always a second chance, and we're doing that.
Amen. Yes. And so there's a gap in that sort of understanding of the Lord's favor that the church has at times missed. The next question is kind of related to that. So it's said that Jesus fulfilled this scripture in their hearing, right? And so he quotes this in Luke chapter 4. It says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. So since Jesus said that he fulfilled this, what would you say to those who have whose experience has not been favorable and who are witnessing injustice in the world without a sense of vengeance from the Lord upon them?
Okay, so...
kind of getting at that gap. Between.
Yeah, I want to read something in the end, but I wanted to touch a little bit on vengeance because that's uncomfortable, right? Like, we want the world, we want to make peace with everyone and not hurt everyone's feelings. And I'm like, well, how can we rejoice in the wrong, in the Lord hurting others? But the beauty is, or because that's how I was interpreting it in my head. And wrongs are made right, so peace is made right. You know, like Daniel was like trying to push my buttons or to try to get me to like have that resistance. I'm like, well, what about the guy who shot those people at the supermarket the other day? Why should his leg be healed or why should he be taken care of? And like really trying to get me to that place where I want to like lash out and be angry at that person. And in the end, like when you get to that space, you're like, okay, well, the Lord is with us through trauma and is with us through pain, and we don't have to go out and be vindictive and hurt that person and do, you know, like we don't have to join the enemy in the rage that that person did to the other person, right? We know that the Lord will take care of it however he takes care of it. So it's our posture on how we want to react to something like that with vengeance. In regards to what was favor. I'm just going to go over the scripture and proclaim what scripture says over you. Oh, maybe it's that one. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay. Thanks, brother. My Latin brother.
Oh, man.
Wait, Latinx. I think that's the correct
term
now. Okay, so let me remind you of why this year is the year of the Lord's favor. And I'm just going to read from my paper because I don't have it memorized. His spirit is here. The Lord favors a new era of blessing, so embrace it. He heals your broken heart. He frees you from being captive. He releases you from darkness. He gives you spiritual freedom from oppression of missing the mark, the actions that hurt us or others, a.k.a. sin. He frees you from the constant dragging through the mud that the enemy likes to put us through. He restores you. He restores the place of long devastation, that deep grief, deep remorse, deep sadness, restored, gone. He comforts you in your mourning by giving you a joyful mindset. He gives you praise instead of the spirit of despair. He gives you everlasting joy, and it will be yours. It's ours. So rejoice in his inheritance. As far as the day of vengeance or vindication, he makes wrongs right. He settles all accounts. Yahweh will reverse your situation since injustice insults him. His divinity rescues and rebuilds us from near destruction. The Lord rescues and reveals our ideals. Sorry, the Lord rescues and rescues our ideals, changes them, changes our heart, our community, our cities, and our nation. So don't forget that. The Lord is good. He has favor over us, and we know this. And yeah, we're proclaiming this, and let's own it, guys. It's available for us.
Amen. Amen. Let's see. I think we pretty much covered most of the questions we want to get to today. Is there anything else that you would share with the congregation as far as anything you... Let's say if you want to sum up what today's message was about or what your inclination was, how would you sum that up?
Well, I just wanted you guys to know that there's freedom, and it does exist. You know, there's the peace is available for us, and we don't need to worry. You know, like we just need to go through it and do it. And then on a side note, I was trying to, regarding Jubilee, I was trying to tell Lincoln what we were studying, and I was like, imagine that on this one year, everything gets shut down. And we get to all rest. Mommy doesn't have to work. Daddy doesn't have to work. We all just rest in the crops. And I'm like, oh, wait, that just happened last year. Yeah. So, hey, we're proclaiming that 2020 had an aspect of a jubilee in it.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Amen. I certainly experienced that. Thanks, Andrea. So,
thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, of course. So there's a few things that stood out from this passage when we were going through it. And one of them was just like the anticipation of something to be fulfilled. And so what I found to be kind of a paradox in the passage is that, well, Jesus says that this has been fulfilled in your hearing today. But at the same time, how many of us feel like we're longing for something to be fulfilled? Like there's a day that we're looking ahead to where we can finally enter this rest. And so it's this interesting tension that we live in where he invites you to situate yourself in this story where it is supposed to be restful and experience his favor and the Lord's vengeance on those things that are unjust. And that was kind of what I was pressing Andrea in just a little bit as far as like what happened this past week. Because my first inclination was, well, he got shot in the leg, right? This guy who went to the grocery store and shot up a bunch of people. He got shot in the leg and they took him to the hospital, obviously, to heal him so that he could go through the judicial process and things like that. Great judicial process. I think the people who came up with that are brilliant, and it's what's made our nation so great in so many ways. But my first inclination is like, he stood over an elderly guy who he had shot, and then shot him point blank to make sure that he finished the job, and he's getting healed, and his leg is getting healed. It's like, no. It's like, let him bleed out, you know? That's my first inclination, just anger and rage at the arbitrariness of that scene, of that moment. And the thing is that there's this sense in us that there is things that are fundamentally wrong in our context, in our society. And if anything, this past year has definitely proven that, even in our own backyards, here in the States. And so we long for those things to be set right. And so in that sense, vengeance is a positive thing that at the end of the day we will rejoice in, because God will set things straight. And so you see those two elements balancing each other out. It's the Lord's favor that we enter that rest and things be set straight. But things can't be set straight unless there's also an aspect of vengeance. And so one of the things that I've devoted myself to for the past 3 years is praying through the Psalms. And I invite you guys to do that, to pray through the Psalms daily. Just pick up any, wherever you're at, one Psalm, read it daily, make that your prayer language, and you'll see how robust it is. It's very comprehensive as far as the things that he's praying into, because it'll incorporate all of that. I rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you. Praise be to your name. Smite my enemies. It's like, wait, hold on a second. It's like, it's either David has some mental issues, or he's up to something far bigger than what's on surface level, right? He's tuning into something that is being fulfilled. And then Christ comes, and he's also a very complex character. If you see the way that he walks through the Gospels, he both has favorable things to say to people, and he heals people, and he grants them rest, but he also rebukes people, and he says, this isn't right. You've made my house a den of thieves. And so he's setting things straight. And so in that same way, in light of your experiences, in light of what the Lord has done with you, in light of even the injustice that we see in the world, may you also proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that you would both bless and also come down on those things that need to be come down on, those things that are unjust in our context. And it's already been fulfilled. Yeah. So it's not this thing where God's waiting on us to fulfill it. Like, it's already been fulfilled. His reign and his kingdom is here according to him. So we just partner with him in that. And we walk that thing out, and you get glimpses, kind of like when in Andrea's stories, you get glimpses of this, even now. Like, there's these elements of rest and these elements of I see the visions of the Lord, and it'll take us to that final day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and like Marquita said, let's focus on God's army, not the other army. Like, we're bigger than his army. So whenever we feel overwhelmed by, oh my gosh, is this end times, we don't need to. Actually, we don't need to know if it is end times, by the way. It's just a little side note. We just need to be right with God, right? It doesn't matter when it happens, how it happens, where it happens. Just make sure you're right with God, and we're good. Thanks for that, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you, Jeremy. All right, I think we'll just pray this out. Would you like to pray for us? I'll pray for us.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, thank you for Andrea. Thank you for her heart. Thank you for the work that you've done in her, and the sort of tangible sense that she has for you, and the way that you've worked with her, even her family. May you continue to bless her, God. Bestow grace on her and your favor. May you strengthen her to stand up against those things that she knows aren't right, but that she would do that with courage, God, and that she would continue to proclaim that. Lord, we thank you for opening up this week for us, this holy week, as we remember the things that you went through on your way towards resurrection. So, Lord, we celebrate that. And may that be a continual celebration in our hearts, in our minds, and among our communities. Would you bless this group, and may they go out and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's in your name we pray. Amen.